You're listening to SBS News.
Treasurer Josh Frydenberg has defended his federal budget spending bonanza, which will pour billions of dollars into tax breaks, job creation, and critical services. Handed down on Tuesday night, it revealed a deficit set to reach $161 billion this year, which is $52.7 billion lower than what was expected around 6 months ago.
You know, the budget we delivered last night will help make the Australian economy stronger and see that the momentum that we've seen in the jobs recovery so far continues. We know that the jobs are coming back, but we've got to keep investing in skills, in infrastructure, in providing tax relief for families, as well as business investment incentives. Lock in that recovery and drive the unemployment rate down, then that will be good news for all of us.
There's been plenty of mixed reaction. The opposition has accused the Prime Minister of funnelling money into slush funds to splash on election commitments. Labor's Treasury spokesman Jim Chalmers says there's also an admission of failure hidden in the federal budget.
They spent about $100 billion last night. They racked up $1 trillion in debt. And I don't think they've got a lot to show for it. You'd think that after spending all that money and racking up all that debt, we'd have a much stronger economy at the end of it, but their own budget papers say that even after the four-year budget period, real wages will have actually gone backwards, and I think that's a bit of an admission of failure. But it also means when the government doesn't get it quite right, or we think that the government's wasting money on sports rorts or dodgy land deals or slush funds in the budget, and there are 21 slush funds in the budget announced last night, then we've got a job to do to say that maybe that money could be spent better.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison has denied tucking away billions of dollars ahead of the next election. The budget sets aside almost $10 billion for projects already signed off by Cabinet, but not yet announced. With the budget largely bereft of losers, some politicians suggest the government is preparing the ground for the next federal election. Mr. Morrison says he is solely focused on the fight against the pandemic this year.
Well, what's important is to understand that there's a pandemic raging, and this is our second pandemic budget, and what the budget is a plan to secure Australia's recovery. That's the enemy here. That's the opposition I'm focused on. It's the pandemic, because that's what will rob Australians of their health. It's what will rob Australians of their jobs and their livelihoods. And what we're achieving here as Australians together is quite unique. In a pandemic, there's no politics. There's just a virus that's looking to take your health and to take your livelihood. And I'm going to make sure that we keep it. I'm going to make sure we keep making those gains. Nothing else matters.
So who exactly is the budget set to benefit? People seeking mental health support, domestic and sexual violence survivors, the aged care sector, low and middle income earners and job seekers in some sectors. Migrant and Refugee Settlement Agency AIMS Australia has welcomed measures to enhance education, training, aged care and the protection of women. However, the organisation says access and information about these opportunities must be available to vulnerable groups in society, including migrants, refugees and members of diverse communities. Opposition leader Anthony Albanese wasn't so welcoming, criticising what he called the short-term political vision of the Morrison government.
And if you look at the long-term issues, this is a real missed opportunity. There's going to be low wages. There's nothing there to grow productivity. There's nothing there to advance new industries. There's nothing there to build back stronger. And we should be using this opportunity. If you're going to have $1 trillion of debt, you want a legacy to show for it. And there's nothing there in this budget to indicate anything other than low wages, low wage growth, low economic growth into the future, and no real plan beyond getting through the next election.
Universities could face an uncertain future. The assumption is that international borders will remain closed for at least another year, until mid-2022. While the budget contains billions of dollars of support for the education sector as a whole, just $53.6 million has been set aside for international education providers. The measures, aimed at independent English language and non-university higher education providers, come after border closures saw international student intakes plummet, harshly impacting university and tertiary education providers' bottom lines. Business Council Chief Executive Jennifer Westacott says international border closures continue to harm the tourism sector.
I think it's a very conservative timeline, and the government's obviously taking a very conservative approach. We've got to end these kind of random lockdowns when you've got one case. So that would help, I think, a lot of people in the tourist sector, because 52% of people say they're not travelling because they're worried about not getting home. Then we've got to gradually, carefully open up those international borders, starting with international students, returning Australian skilled workers.
Elsewhere, aged care will receive an extra $17.7 billion over 4 years to address a damning Royal Commission report which detailed horror stories of neglect and abuse. Leading advocates say Australia's aged care system is on the pathway to transformation, but more funding is still needed. Australian Aged Care Collaboration spokeswoman Patricia Sparrow gave cautious support to the package. Evie Webley, the head of aged care training provider Altura Learning, also welcomes the package.
We definitely welcome them. I think that there are certainly strategies in that budget document that deliver on workforce issues, particularly the shortages, et cetera, and also the necessity to attract and train appropriately and importantly retain the workers into this much necessary industry. It needs to be the right people working in aged care as well, so that you can entrust your loved one to be cared for by these skilled workers.
The budget papers contain no new major welfare measures. The government lifted the rate of JobSeeker at the end of March, and JobKeeper wrapped up at the end of March also. ACOS Australia CEO Cassandra Goldie says after years of austerity, a pandemic and a recession, the budget provides investment in crucial community services but leaves some behind in crisis.
It was really welcome to see finally some modest, important, significant investment in those care services. Aged care, mental health, family and domestic violence is long overdue, really vital, and some good jobs will be in there. But the flip side is the people have been left out. So people on very low incomes, people are unemployed. Let's remember, one in three single mums is now in deep poverty again, and we haven't got anything to tackle housing affordability for the people who really need it. There's a lot on the training side, and we really welcome that. People in the mental health area are now saying, look, that's really important, we've got that. But you can't get away from the fact that to protect your mental health, you've got to have basic security.
The Australian Council of Trade Unions says the budget will not improve the central issues facing working Australians, including women, that of insecure work and low wage growth. Women are the fastest growing cohort of homeless people in Australia. CEO Michelle O'Neill says the government aims to give the impression of addressing issues by releasing a women's budget, but fell short in this one. Helen Daly Fisher of the Equality Rights Alliance is more optimistic.
Well, what a difference 7 months makes. We've come from a budget back in October which completely forgot that 51% of the population existed, to a budget that's taken a few small but critical steps forward towards recognising the important role that women play in the Australian economy. Has been, to a large degree, the work of a number of really brave young women who are prepared to come forward and bring issues to the table that really change the debate in this country. Childcare is a good step forward. It doesn't go far enough because we at this point don't have accessibility that goes far enough across the population. However, having a recognition that childcare is an issue is a good step forward, and we welcome it.
$129 million in additional legal assistance funding will be provided for response demands emerging out of the pandemic. Families undergoing legal cases, women escaping domestic violence, and those facing sexual abuse online and offline are set to also receive support. For more, here's CEO of Women's Legal Tasmania, Yvette Sattel.
At the end of June, there's no ongoing commitment. So what I'd be really looking forward to examining the detail of is whether there's an ongoing commitment to specialist women's services and to for us in Tasmania, for the specialist women's legal service. And I think that's a really critical question because the work that we do needs to be valued and respected by the government, because there's a great continuum of what violence against women looks like.
Marcus Megalokonomos, SBS News.